Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines wanderlust as a strong desire to travel. Join us and let's discover the world.
I'm Kesey.
And I'm Brian.
And we are your KI Home and Away upscale travel advisors. You can find us and all of our contact information at kihomeandaway.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. But we're not here to sell you a deluxe vacation package. We just want to have fun and talk travel. So come relax with us and enjoy Wanderlust. On today's episode, we're covering Expedition 4 of the World Cruise. This one's called Capitals of Culture. It is 40 destinations, 63 nights, and it goes from 10 July to 10 September 2024. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, last we left off, we were leaving Barcelona, Spain, and then we go to Valencia, Spain.
So I had a Barcelona, Spain since we started there.
Oh, go for it.
All right. I had the Parc Güell, and supposedly it's one of the world's most beautiful parks. It was originally designed as a unique housing development that was never completed and became a property of the city and was left unfinished, and it was eventually turned into a park.
Okay.
So
there you go, Barcelona.
It's, yeah. It looks pretty nice. It's all like, the whole area is like mosaic overlook buildings and walkways and stuff. It's
nice.
It's really nice, yeah.
Oh, background noise. Not only are we talking about Royal Caribbean's World Cruise, but we are on a Royal Caribbean cruise. So if you hear all the wind blowing and water flowing in the background, that's where we are. All right. So now, on to Valencia. I found that Valencia is full of Gothic architecture. So I chose, and I'm going to say it wrong, I'm sure, La Llona de Seda. In the center of town, it's a medieval silk market famous for being one of the few examples of non-religious Gothic architecture in Europe. And it's UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Of course.
Of course.
I don't have a good one for there. I had the Mercado de Colón, which is an indoor public market. The entire building looks like an amazing work of art. They got food and crafts and, you know, all the
local souvenir
stuff kind of things, and just looked like kind of a neat place to basically walk through and sightsee.
I like. All right, from there we go to Cartagena, Spain. For this one, I picked a Roman theater museum. It has a lot of museums here. And then there's the Liquor 43 tour. So Liquor 43 is a 31% ABV spirit with 43 different citrus fruits and spices, and goes best with milk and ice.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've met a liquor that has not already, like, mixed in some sort of milk or something.
If it's supposed to have it.
Right, so this one you mix
with. Well, that's strong. Milk. I mean, 31, so that's what, it's a double.
Okay.
Double the percentage to get your proof. Okay, so I went with the Batería de Castellitos, which is the castle-like fortress built in the 1930s. That looks like it's from the actual medieval times. So it's known to be like, it looks like it's from way long ago, but it's, as far as castles go, it's very young, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a modern castle that looks ancient. Nothing exciting.
I like it.
There.
It's cool.
Oh, and I also had another one there.
Mm-hmm.
You can go what's called a coastering in Isla Plana, which is a combination of rock climbing, cliff diving, and exploring hidden caves and beaches along a 9.3 mile stretch of small natural cliffs on the water's edge.
Uh-huh. I'm going to not do that because that sounds scary.
Okay.
But I like it. Right. After that, we are going to Malaga, Spain. So in Malaga, I have the Picasso Museum. It's in a 16th century villa. And so you can see different Picasso art throughout the world, but this one, the ones here have only been displayed here. You haven't seen them in any other museums or anything like that.
I have the same thing.
Thief.
This was actually his home when he was younger.
Yes, I missed that
another
part,
little
yeah.
detail about that there. Yep, that was the same thing I went with.
Well then, I guess we're going to Casablanca. So Casablanca had so many camel tours. So go on a camel tour through the Sahara Desert. You can go and see tree goats who climb up the tree to eat nuts.
Really?
Yeah. So I want to see a goat climb a tree. I don't know if all the trees are like leaned over to the side or how this whole situation works, but I want to see a tree goat.
Yeah, it's got to be those sloped curved trees,
something,
right?
Something. Or it's got to be like rocky hills with thick branches and they can go up the rocks and then jump onto the branches or something. I don't know. But let's go and find out.
Right. All right. Where are we? I'm looking for my notes here.
Casablanca.
This one, I thought when we were going in, I was like, there's going to be so much amazing stuff. But when you actually like look, this one was like a struggle for me to find.
Yes, camel
something
tours
at
and
yeah,
goats.
And I think it's just everybody knows the name,
exactly.
And so you just do assume.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's amazing things there. Obviously, like every one of these places looks amazing, mm-hmm. you know, but it's hard to find that way out there wild excursion that you can do. So for this one. The Marche Central, Casablanca's main market. It's called a photographer's dream and an amazing source for cultural local food.
Mm-hmm. After Casablanca, we're going to Agadir, Morocco. So there's a little place called Paradise Valley. And I guess it's one of those like off the cut sort of places that you gotta find. And you can go and hike, sunbathe, swim, and relax. So this was just kind of a relaxing day at a place that not a lot of people know about, that you can just go and kind of have some
quiet day.
Yeah, quiet time away from the crowd.
Well, I went in a different direction here. Sandboarding in the Sahara Desert.
Okay.
So, yep, hook up to a big kite and you can get pulled through the desert on a big skateboard.
Not hanging out with you.
And then after that, dinner at Cote Court, which has a pizza brick oven specialty place. So, continue our pizza around the world.
Yeah. After that, we're going to cruise for one day, and then we're going to Lisbon, Portugal. So, I found the Livraria Bertrand, and this holds the Guinness's World Record for being the oldest continually open bookshop in the world. It's been open since 1773, so we're going there. Yep.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I went with, this is, every stop has them. I finally chose this one as one. Going to a church, right?
Uh-huh.
This one was the Iglesia de Roque. I don't know. The Roman Catholic Church that looks absolutely amazing. You know what I mean? You look at a lot of these sites, they all have a church that's one of the top recommendations to go to. To me, this one, like, stood above and beyond what most of them look like. So,
okay.
It was just very good-looking place to go sightseeing.
All right. After that, we are going to Porto, Portugal.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
I had another one for Lisbon.
Go for it.
The Terreiro do Pavo. Which is a royal palace that includes all the statues of the previous kings.
Mm-hmm.
Also, great food within the area.
Cool.
That was it.
All right. Okay, so after that we're going to Porto, Portugal. Here, I went with Cultura dos Saberes. This is dinner on a swing. So it's a dinner on a swing vegan restaurant. It's closed right now. I'm not sure if it was a COVID shutdown and it'll open later. So this is kind of taking a chance. It may be open, it may not, but you can have dinner and a swing. Which, at the time I looked this up, sounded really unique. And then we got on this cruise and every port like had...
bars with swings.
Bars with swings.
Yep.
So you can have a drink on a swing. So this one's unique, I guess, in the sense that you can have dinner on a swing. It was cool when I found it, though.
I have the Chaos de Hebreu, which is a river walk of bars and restaurants. And then also the Church of Santa Clara.
Okay. Another church.
Another church.
Take me to church. After Portugal, we're going to Vigo, Spain. So in Vigo, I found the Afundacion Social Center. It's the largest exhibition center in the city. It's inside Casa Barença, a restored building with an indoor garden. So I just want to go to an indoor garden.
Okay.
I forget the plant count and everything. Right. I think I forgot to write it down, but it's a lot and I want to see it.
All right, for me, I went with just the seafood. So they have supposedly amazing oysters.
Mm-hmm.
And mariscada, which is a large platter of seafood, including local crab and lobsters. Supposedly the water temperature combined with the pieces of plankton in the region, or the types of plankton in the region, create the perfect seafood water climate. Also can be paired with locally made wines, specifically made for complementing the local seafood.
Mm-hmm.
So, something in the water for the oysters. I can't think of the last time I even tried an oyster. I just know I don't really like them, so I figured here'd be a great place to...
to see if you still don't like them. Right.
To try the finest available,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. After we leave Vigo, Spain, we are cruising for one day, and then we're going to end up at Cork, Ireland. So for Cork, I found the Shandon Bells. So you go to St. Anne's Church, and you climb up 132 steep stairs to get to the top, and then you can ring the Shandon Bells. And this is something that people enjoy doing? Is that what you got?
Nope. I remember reading it, though.
Okay.
Mine's pretty quick. They have a Titanic museum there.
Boom.
So.
I did read about that.
Yep.
Yep.
So, I don't know why, because that's not where it came from, but I'm sure you could discover it while you're there.
Yeah, I don't remember if I read why. After Cork, we're cruising for one day, and then we're going to Cherbourg, France. Here they have the Liberation Museum. Again, it may be closed, it may be a COVID closed, and it'll open back up, or not. But the Battle of Cherbourg was part of World War II's Battle of Normandy, from 6 to 30 June 1944. And so it has a lot of military history, and I wanted to see it.
I got a very similar one.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they have their version for all that battles. Mm-hmm. They have their version of basically Arlington.
Uh-huh.
So they have our version. It's the Normandy Cemetery,
mm-hmm,
is what they have. And it looks just like Arlington. Arlington
Cemetery.
It's
nice.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the opposite sides. There's over 9,000 Americans that are actually buried there from, mm-hmm, the ones that were died there. They have a monument for those that were just gone missing, never found kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have another one that kind of relates in the similar. So Jersey Island happens to be right off of that, which my family has a history with. Mm-hmm. So you could take a ferry to Jersey Island. This is a family history stop for me. Visit the town and the site where Dennis Vibert became the only person to escape the German-controlled Channel Islands by sailing a small 8-foot rowboat named the Ragamuffin for days until he was picked up. He later joined the Royal Air Force as a bomber pilot. In recognition of this escape during the liberation ceremonies on Jersey Island, a replica sailboat of his was set out and it followed his path and sailed during his escape. So in 2005, they're still recognizing what he did in 1942.
Yeah.
So, and that was my great uncle that did all that. So I figured going and seeing a little family heritage kind of thing there would be cool. So.
Absolutely.
Next is the big one.
Yep. So after that, we are going to spend 2 days in Paris. So one of the things I found was Bassin de la Villette. Here you can rent a license-free boat and sail the canals. It's one of the most romantic things that people like to do in Paris. Just get on a boat and sing all the... I don't know, Lady and the Tramp comes to mind. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I like that it's license-free. I don't have to have a boating license.
Okay.
So it makes it easy for travelers and visitors, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for my day one, I have visit the Eiffel Tower and then have a surprise sunset 5 or 6 course dinner with champagne at the very top of the Eiffel Tower.
Aww.
And so it's a super exclusive luxury thing. There's only like 4 tables at the top. Mm-hmm. And so it is one of those you better book a year in advance kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So gourmet dinner at the top of the Eiffel Tower at sunset.
I like it. After that, we're going to go to visit a secret garden. So, let's see. Square Marcel Blustin Blatchet is a secret garden behind Parvis de Sacre Coeur. So it has beautiful summer blooms. We're going to be there in the summer. So, along with all the other romantic stuff, I would like to go and spend time in a secret garden with you.
Okay. So for my day two, I have lunch at the Guy Savoy restaurant serving the Ultra Plus menu, which is 18 courses called the Innovations and Inspirations menu, featuring roasted lobster and artichoke soup with black truffle. Gives you a little idea.
Uh-huh.
So it's a very high-end type place, you know, 18 course menu, Michelin star place.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we're going to just go walk around and do a tasting tour of the best macaroons.
18 course menu and then shovel our faces going full of macaroons.
Yep, and including the Pierre Hermé.
Brian loves macaroons, by the way.
Who has been awarded the world's best pastry chef. So if there's one person to have a macaroon from.
That's it.
There you go.
Let's do it.
And then the evening, you can go attend an opera and a private tour with champagne at the Opera Garnier, which is home of the Phantom of the Opera.
Nice.
The original one from the story.
Mm-hmm.
Or what the story was based upon was from that place. And it's when you start reading into it, it's weird how real life similar like it is. Like after the thing was written, in part of it, in the Phantom of the Opera, a chandelier falls and kills someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually happened in real life in that place.
Oh, wow.
Which is, yep. What a coincidence. Box number 5 is always reserved for the ghost of the Phantom of the Opera.
Done.
So, so go.
We were all romantic and then you had to ruin it.
Seeing an opera?
Yeah, trying to get me killed by a chandelier. Falling for these tricks. All right, after we leave Paris, we are going to Southampton, England. So here I found Here I found another vegan place. This one's called Cafe Thrive. And they believe that good food shouldn't cost the earth. So all products are made from organic fair trade ingredients. And their burgers are supposed to be so good that even meat eaters can't tell the difference.
Okay. Mine is a private luxury vehicle pickup from the port with a guided tour of the inner circles of Stonehenge.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by a tour of Roman bathhouses and then food and drinks at the nearby 14th century pub.
I like it.
I also had dinner at the Jetty, which is Southampton's only Michelin star awarded restaurant.
Go Mr. Michelin Man. My other one is the Ocean Village Book Exchange. This one, you have to go past all the fancy restaurants and behind the yacht clubs, and you'll find a little blue phone booth. And it's one of those where you have to give a book to take a book. So it's a little hidden place that you can go and seek out. After we leave Southampton, we're going to Bruges, Belgium. Don't laugh at me.
Oh, I got 1,000 words I'm butchering during this.
Oh, no, no, no. Don't laugh at me.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to a cat cafe. It's called Catten Cafe Puss in Boots. And they serve coffee and cakes. And they have cats that they rescued from a kill shelter that are up for adoption. So,
how many cats are we talking?
I don't know. I'm going to think it varies depending on how many they rescue, but I don't even care. If the place is swarming with cats, I want to go there. And then when I get back on the boat, they're going to be like, the x-ray shows a lot of live creatures.
Your bag caught us.
Your bag keeps hissing at us.
All right, for me, we're in Belgium. I was thinking, what is Belgium famous for?
Waffles.
Belgian waffles.
Yeah.
So we're going to do Belgian waffles for breakfast at Chez Albert, which is supposedly in the pictures. They do it just, it looks good. Like gourmet waffles from a street vendor kind of thing, you know? Looks really good. Followed by a walking, self-guided Belgian chocolate tasting tour while visiting local shopping along the way. So, they, Godiva is from there. So, and supposedly Belgian chocolate is the best in the world, and Bruges chocolate is the best in Belgium.
So, I don't like chocolate, so if this chocolate sells me, you know it's good.
Right.
After we leave Belgium, we are going to be cruising for one day, and then we're going to Skagen, Denmark. Here, I found a teddy bear museum. So, it's the first and only teddy bear museum in Scandinavia. It has all sorts of bears, but some of them have history. Like, there's one bear. It's called the German Steiff teddy bear. It was introduced in 1893 by Margaret and Richard Steiff, and they tried to introduce it in the U.S., and it just flopped. But then in 1903, an American guy saw it, ordered 3,000 of the bears, and it caught on like wildfire. And it reminded me of like the Tickle Me Elmo situation where everybody went crazy over it. But the press called it the teddy bear craze. So they went from trying it out and not making it to suddenly somebody said, I'll buy 3,000 of them for whatever reason. And then everybody wanted them.
All right. So Skagen was created as a fishing village and survived for generations off herring, which is the local fish that is caught there. So the Skagen Fiskerestaurant is considered the finest restaurant that specializes in the local cuisine. And it's like, they even say, Instagram-worthy fine dining with patio seating that overlooks the harbor.
Nice. After we leave Skagen, we're going to Berlin, Germany. Here I found Holzmark 25. It's an outdoor market. And it is like small business. So they're fighting to save alternative venues in Berlin during a time of inflated rent. And then chain stores are coming through the place. So if you have the chance to go and just support this market, like if you can imagine a cruise boat full of people going out and supporting this market and not letting, I'll say like the equivalent Walmart come in and run them out of business, I always think that's a great thing. So I pick those. I pick them.
I got one that's kind of on the similar. So mine I have to basically wander the city and actually get an idea of the place and see what it's all about. And then there's a program set up that one woman started to help the... They have a massive refugee situation, I guess. There's just too many refugees there for them to be able to handle. Mm-hmm. And so they all become homeless. And so you can actually have dinner and support the refugee cause. Have dinner with a refugee.
I like
where
that.
She arranges and you sit down for a nice dinner with them. They get a good meal and then you can you know, make it more personable to right. possibly be able to want to donate and help the cause.
I like that a lot.
So.
After we leave Berlin, we're cruising for a day, and then we're going to Tallinn, Estonia. And we're going to a KGB museum.
KGB. So, okay.
Hotel Viru was one of those buildings built with microphones throughout, you know? You know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about?
Yep.
Yep. So every floor, every level, they wire microphones in all the walls and whatever. So not many people were allowed on the top floor, and the Soviet manager said that it was their technical room. So when the KGB fled in the early 90s, Estonians discovered all this. They like finally went up there, all this James Bond type listening equipment. And so they kept it in that condition and made it a museum and opened it up. So now you get to go up to the technical room, and the sign on the door when you get up to the top floor to the technical room, it says, "There's nothing here." And then you can go in and look at all the stuff that was actually there.
All right. I have shop, dine, and drink in the old town, surrounded by perfectly preserved buildings that are hundreds of years old, all on cobblestone roads, and there's elaborate murals throughout the city, and there's even a hidden speakeasy to find somewhere in Old Town.
Nice.
So, hidden in a back alley at an unmarked door that you need a passcode for.
I like it.
So.
I'm into things like that. After we leave Estonia, we're going to St. Petersburg, Russia, and we'll be there for 2 days. The first thing I had was Freud's Dream Museum. So it's dimly lit and surreal, and it's broken up into two parts. The first part focuses on Freud's 12 stages of development, along with photos, text, and paintings inspired by Freud's dreams and those of his patients. The second part is filled with unsettling lights, sounds, and images, and it is meant to trigger the subconscious and just kind of make you feel a certain way. So, you know, Freud's Freud, so I figured that'd be worth a visit.
Okay.
What do you got?
I have a private tour of Catherine the Great's palace and the Grand Palace of Peterhof. Mm-hmm. I'm not typically into the palace tours, but Catherine, she went above and beyond on her palace, and holy shit.
Yeah.
It's just when you see the outside, I mean, it's
worth.
Yeah.
Okay. My next one, I tried to give to you. I tried to say I found a thing, and it should be your thing, and you rejected me.
Right.
It's Rasputin.
Oh, cool.
Yes. The Rasputin Museum at Yusupov Palace, it's the place where Rasputin was murdered.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Where he was attempted.
Oh, no, this is the time they actually killed him.
Well, he, yeah.
Hold on.
He got off the grounds.
Let me tell my story.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. So this is the night that Prince Yusupov, heir to the greatest fortune in Russia and married to a cousin of the Romanov imperial family, spent, it says, a frustrating and probably most terrifying night of his life trying to kill Grigory Rasputin. So they invited him to the party to meet his future bride. Everything in the room was laced with cyanide, so they left him in the room alone. And he's like eating and drinking and being merry and everything. They go in and he's sipping on wine and they're looking at him like, anything? And he's like, just clearing my throat, but yep. It's good. And so they end up, what do? They ended up shooting him.
Yeah, he goes up to his room in a panic, grabs a gun, and comes back down.
Yep, they shoot him, they beat him, and they drop him in an icy river. And then later when they did the autopsy, they said that he died of hypothermia. So he made it through all that, and the only thing that killed him was the river.
Right, so he grabbed the gun, shot him, and then ran off to go tell, I just killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go back to and he's gone. And so they have to follow his blood trail out of the house, and then they beat him, stab him outside, and thinking he's dead, and then he runs and crawls off into the river.
Yep.
Yep.
And the only thing that killed him was the water.
Yep. They're actually making a movie of him right now.
I'm just saying, I tried to give this one to you, and you didn't.
It's a good
want
one.
It.
That's a good one.
So when you go to the museum, if you just go and pay at the front door and try to go in and you think you're going to see this Rasputin room, you're not. You're just going to see everything else. So basically, you have to walk in, not to the ticket booth outside, but you have to walk in and just keep saying Rasputin, Rasputin, Rasputin. Until somebody's like, yeah, I understand. Okay, let me just take your money. Because if you just pay like normal, you're not going to see it.
Huh.
Yeah. So the Rasputin rooms are available on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 5 p.m. And it costs 350 rubles. It may be more now. I don't know. But don't pay at the front door. Go in and just repeat yourself until somebody's like, I understand. Unless you speak the language, then you're good.
Oh, so it's not a code thing.
No. It's okay. If you can't speak the language.
I thought you had to go in and chant.
No.
That's crazy.
Yeah, if you don't speak Russian, then you gotta just go in there sounding like a fool. Right, after St. Petersburg, we are going to Helsinki, Finland. Here I found the Kamppi Chapel, or the Chapel of Silence. So it's inside of the city center. It's inside of Narinkatori Square, which I think is like a mall or something, a shopping center. And this chapel is not really used for religious ceremonies or weddings or anything. It's mainly used as a quiet space. So it has round high walls, high ceilings, barely any decor, and it's dedicated to peace and quiet, and it's shaped like an alien egg, I don't know. So oddly shaped, crazy peaceful, and people just go there to kind of sit in silence and gather themselves. Yeah.
Okay. I got two different types of things that I found for Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
The first one being a mushroom hunting expedition in the wild, followed by a guided teaching and cooking of the mushrooms in a campfire meal.
Mm-hmm. Do we get a pig?
Right. It didn't say. I was looking for a truffle pig, but right. It didn't mention it. You hunt for 3 or 4 different types of wild mushrooms, though.
All right.
So. And then on the other side of things, so you can learn and practice graffiti art.
Awesome.
At the Suvalhati Cultural Center. So it's an abandoned power plant that was turned into a cultural center and skate park. And they have a 300-foot wall that's like 182 feet tall that is intended for graffiti of all levels and everything. And so professionals will come and put their massive murals up, and then kids will come and learn how to do it and trace it, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Actually an intended place made for graffiti.
That reminds me of when we try to learn and take lessons. Spray paint something at home, and you have like your technique down, and I'm like and ruining everything. Need me a graffiti wall.
Yep.
After Helsinki, we are going to Stockholm, Sweden. In Stockholm, I found the City Hall Cellars. So there is a noble banquet that takes place every year. I believe it was like December 10th. But we're not going to be there on December 10th. However, when you go to the City Hall Cellar restaurant, you can get a noble banquet from any years past. So if you know of one, 1952, and you want that one, as long as you reserve it in advance, You can pick a year and you get that dinner that they served on the china that they used that year. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Vintage menus, they're going to vary in price. But you have to have a party of 10 or more. And you have to book it at least a week in advance.
I say, they probably need time to get ingredients.
Yes. And the plates can be around $200 or more dollars per person.
All right. Mine, Stockholm Syndrome.
Okay.
So you can visit the first place that this was actually where it all came to be from.
Uh-huh.
So the Stockholm Syndrome is a psychological syndrome that was named after an unfortunate occurrence in none other than Sweden's capital. It's described as a phenomenon where victims become sympathetic with their abusers. The first recorded case of Stockholm Syndrome was after some robbers held up a bank at Normalstorg. After several people were shot and injured, and the police were able to gain control of the situation, the hostages expressed their concern for the robbers. The victims pleaded for their fair treatment of the persecutors. So a criminal, Niles Bijaj.
I can't help you with that.
Yep. Niles, a criminal psychiatrist, named the odd behavior Normalstorg syndrome, which was later evolved into Stockholm syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So I had just discovering that. And in Stockholm, they have what is considered to be the world's largest solar system model.
Mm-hmm.
The Sweden solar system is what it's called. It's spread across the entire city with different buildings and statues representing different parts of the solar system.
That's awesome. So I bet all their kids get an A in school.
So the Globe Arena is the largest spheric building in the world, and it represents the sun.
That's amazing.
So you can download a solar map and do a journey through the entire area to see.
That's super cool. After we leave Stockholm, we are going to Visby, Sweden. Here we are going on a Hot Shed Brewery beer bus tour. So aside from the Hot Shed Brewery making their own craft beer, they also take their customers on a guided beer tasting tour throughout the city, and they take them, you know, I thought it was cool because they're not just saying come to our place and drink our beer, but they're taking them to multiple different breweries to try everybody else's as well.
Mm-hmm. I have visit the city by foot, having a day walking to explore the city surrounding Stonewall. There's an alleyway famous for being filled with roses every summer. It's got just hundreds, like, filled.
Yeah.
So, I guess. See the local bars, see the medieval sea era, Viking era shops and buildings, and the sea stacks, or what they're called along the beach. It's like limestone columns that have just taken place over hundreds and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
They've eroded away less than everything around them.
Yeah.
And so it's these columns that stick up out of the beach, and supposedly they're in the towns. You may have to get a bike or something, but if you can ride down and see them all, and
it looks
pretty cool. Yeah, it says from millions of years of erosion.
Right.
And just to mention, there is the
Michelin
Nipbin.
Okay.
Nope.
Just checking.
Nipbin, which is a Pippi Longstocking theme park.
Okay, I saw that and I got excited because I'm a Pippi Longstocking fan.
It's somewhere in that region.
Yes.
Yep.
I absolutely saw that and I was going to jump all over it, but I was like, I'm probably the only Pippi Longstocking fan on planet Earth, so I'm going to let it go. But I saw that.
I had no idea she was Swedish. It's been so long since I
Yeah. Pippi Longstocking coming
in. There was a cartoon too, right?
Yeah. I had the doll. Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah. After we leave Visby, we are going to Klaipėda, Lithuania. I found water bikes that look like sports cars and taxis, and you can ride a water bike to enjoy the Dane River.
Okay.
Another thing I found was in the old town, there are over 20 little sculptures. So it seems like it's an easy find to spot the statue or whatever, but it's actually difficult and super hard to do without a map. But if you can wander around and just point out all the little sculptures in the city center.
Yep.
It's supposed to be a fun little thing to do.
I have visit the Black Ghost statue.
I saw that too.
Did
yeah.
Did you see it?
Uh-huh.
All right. So
looks like it's climbing out of the water.
Exactly. This is a ghost that spoke to a city guard in 1595, asking about the city's grain, supplies, and timber, and left a warning that their stocks would soon run low, and he then vanished. This is in a time when ghosts and spirits were considered wise, and the city took the word serious and spent a couple of years greatly increasing their stocks. This was followed by years of famine and hunger and timber shortages. The city survived only because of its increased stocks.
Awesome.
So it's considered a good ghost, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the spirit of Christmas to come, you know?
Right.
And then
I was just going to say, I honestly didn't read up on it because it looked scary.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just like a hooded figure. There's no person in it. It's just like...
Right. Climbing
with a lantern.
Onto the side. Yeah. It looks scary, and I was like, oh, it's a ghost, and I'm not going to read it.
Pretty cool, and
but
a cool story.
But it's cool that it set him up for success.
Yep.
Yeah.
This would then be followed by lunch at the Monet restaurant. Multiple reviews say it as the best meal they have ever eaten.
Hmm.
Not just in the town, the city, the country.
But ever in life.
Best meal ever. And then visit the Radelet house. It's an upside down house. You can go in and take pictures so it looks like you're on the ceiling.
Oh, neat.
So.
I like that. After we leave Lithuania, we are going to Rønne, Bornholm, Denmark. Rønne's a little town in Bornholm. Here I found the medieval Hammershus. It's the largest castle ruin of all North Europe. The oldest part of the fortress was probably built in the early 12th century. It's about an hour from Rønne, but it looks like it's worth a visit.
Yep, I saw some of it. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
I almost had it on my list. All right, I have visit the Jorth's Fabric Ceramic Factory, which was turned into a museum, but you can still go there and do workshops of creating your own ceramics to bring home. I then rent a car to explore the villages throughout the island and dine at the Michelin star-rated Kadu restaurant.
Michelin stars all over the place.
All over the world.
I like it. After we leave Denmark, we're going to Kiel, Germany. Here I said we're going to catch the bus. It's a little out of the way, but we're going to catch the bus to go see a German submarine. So the U-995 was built in 1943 and ended up getting sent... That's something else that got commissioned by the blah, blah, blah.
Mm-mm. That's it. It was left abandoned, basically,
yeah.
by the Germans and was then commissioned into refurbished, repurposed, and turned into
yep.
the...
In 1972, it was converted into a technical museum, so it's a tight squeeze, but you can get in there and check out the engine room, control stations, and things like that.
Yep, so that was the same one I had for that, and I also had something else, though. I had visit the Zoologischen Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can actually see an entire blue whale skeleton that's hanging from above like it's swimming through the air.
Yeah.
And it just that kind of grabbed my attention. Like, that's kind of cool.
I like that. I did see that.
And there is a Hiroshima Park there as well, if I remember. Yeah. Take a stroll around Hiroshima Park. Name, and it's in remembrance of the bombing.
Yeah. After we leave Germany, we're going back to Denmark. This time we're going to Copenhagen. Here I found the Superkilen Diversity Park. It's an entire city block that's hot pink. And they imported design elements from all over the world. So a bench from Brazil, a light post from Iran, things like that. And the park was created in 2012 to celebrate diversity, not only in their neighborhood, but all over the world.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have Climbing the Church of the Savior. So this is for just an amazing view. And once you get about halfway up above every other building in the area, the staircase goes outside. And it continues in a spiral staircase that goes up to the top area where you can overlook the entire city. And there's just a little viewing point up there and has the best views from anywhere in the city.
Nice.
So good for your Instagrams. There's also another one, Finding the Six Forgotten Giants.
Ooh, I did read some about
that. Did you see that one?
Go for it.
So it's giant sculptures, each within a different municipality in the area. You can find them all by a combination of renting a bike for a day and hopping on and off the local train system. The sculptures were done to encourage people to explore the culture of the city and nature, and to encourage other artists to bring art outside of the museum. So don't just make paintings that get hung on a wall and stuck in a place. Try to make art everywhere. So there's also an option to do a 4-hour guided bike tour that goes and explores and shows all of them.
I like that too.
So you can go do it yourself, or there's a tour.
Because we have like the visit a museum. Yeah, I like the outside museum sort of thing.
And these are like 15, 20 foot tall wooden giants, and they got them kind of like one's hiding behind a tree, you know, that clearly doesn't fit, you know. So they look pretty cool.
I like it. After we leave Copenhagen, we're going to Aarhus, Denmark. This one I found, the Infinity Bridge. It was constructed in 2015 for the biannual Sculpture by the Sea event. It was done by Danish architects Niels Pavelskard and Johan, I don't know how to pronounce the last name because it's the O with the line through it. So Gjodes, not sure. The Infinity Bridge is only set up between May through October. And since the cruise will be there at that time, that's a good time to see it. Other than that, it's closed. You can't climb on it. It was supposed to be part of the event. Like, you put it up, it gets seen, and then you take it down. But the local townspeople liked it so much, they wanted to keep it up permanently. But I guess to be able to walk on it and actually walk around it, it's only May through October. The Infinity Bridge looks like a giant circle, and it spans over 200 feet in diameter, and it overlaps the sand and the sea. So you walk on from the sand part, and then you can walk what feels like you're above the sand, and then next thing you know, you're walking like in the sea and back around to the sand again. So it looks cool.
Okay. I have a walkthrough of a Viking museum. Just looked interesting. And visit the Aarhus Botanical Gardens, which houses 4 separate climates, each in different areas, displaying plants from around the world.
I remember reading that too.
And this was just recently, in the last few years, completely renovated, so it's not some old, worn-out looking place. You know, it's all brand new and freshly redone. For food, I put go to the Latin Quarter, where you can get gourmet Nordic dishes.
Awesome.
And there's also the Den Gamle By, which is a large labyrinth open-air museum with 75 historic buildings and an actual cast of reenactors that live day-to-day life within there, like it's the 17th and 1800s.
That's awesome.
So.
Yeah. All right, once we leave Aarhus, we're going to Oslo, Norway. For this one, I said I wanted to visit the Oslo Opera House. So the designers who created this one drew inspiration from icy glaciers, and the roof is slanted down so you can go up some stairs on the outside and then climb onto the roof, and you can walk onto the roof. So while that's cool in itself, the one thing that I liked about it is it's the perfect vantage point to see the Oslo Harbor sculpture named She Lies. So this was designed and created by Italian artist Monica Bonvicini, and it's based off Caspar David Friedrich's painting The Sea of Ice. So the sculpture looks like a sailboat, and it floats on a concrete platform tethered to the harbor floor, and so it changes direction and kind of moves around as the tides and winds change.
Okay. Mine's not as exciting. Visit the Kon-Tiki Museum, which is a chance to learn about lesser-known exploration of the world where Thor Heyerdahl and five other sailors sailed in a tiny raft made of balsa wood a fifth of the way around the world. Over the course of 101 days, they went from Peru to the Pacific Islands in that boat.
So in a wooden boat?
In a little wooden boat, yeah. You know, so when you think of, like, crossing the Atlantic with a crew of 200 guys on the Mayflower, these guys went twice the distance in a tenth of the boat.
Yeah.
You know? So, and it's just about their whole story of exploration, you know, stories we don't really, never even heard of this guy.
Exactly.
You know, he did a much greater feat than people that we give all the praise to, you know? So, a chance to actually see history and education from outside of America.
Yeah. We're going to be in Norway for a while. After we leave Oslo, we are going to Kristiansand, Norway. So first, I had the Zoo and Amusement Park, which covers 150 acres of wild Nordic terrain. But then 2 hours away, you can go to Lindesnes, Norway, and dine at the world's largest underwater restaurant. It's 16 feet below sea level, and it's called Under. So the restaurant's name is Under. And I was reading something about it. It says it looked like a giant tank got pushed into the water and just fell in there. But when you get down in there, when you actually go downstairs and go into the restaurant, it's amazing.
For me, walk the city and discover the wall to building size murals, which have been painted by local, national, and international artists. So these are all located within the city center, and they have just beautifully well done entire buildings painted. And it's all different colors and everything. The area is also filled with local breweries, cafes, shops, and dining options.
I like it. Still in Norway, we're going to Haugesund. This one was another. You got to go an hour and a half away, but you can go see the Langfoss waterfalls. The waters fall 600 meters down into the fjords. You can hike up a path along the waterfall, or a lot of people just say it's a good, let's say you were not on a cruise and you were just driving through, it's worth pulling over and just watching it because it's that beautiful. And it is known as one of the best waterfalls in Norway.
I got one kind of similar. So I go on a guided canoe trip through the peaceful rivers that eventually lead to a 1 hour hiking trip. For this, you'll need a wetsuit, climbing harness, and a helmet to climb through the trails, wading through waterbeds and splashing waterfalls. Finally, after reaching the top, as you climb up, you'll get to rappel down through the waterfalls down to the ground, including rappelling down through the middle of a 100-foot waterfall.
I was good with the little hiking, and then I'm done.
So you get to climb up through waterfalls and then rappel down through them.
Nope.
During the trip, there are breaks and stops where you can go kind of small rock diving and swimming through the small little ponds almost that collect up there from the waterfalls.
Yeah. Well, I'm probably not going to go with you. Doesn't mean I don't love you. I'm just afraid of everything. After we leave there, we're still in Norway, and we're going to Olden. So a 10-minute drive from Olden is Loen Skylift. Well, the restaurant is called the Hoven Restaurant. You go in a Skylift and enjoy a meal made with local ingredients at the edge of a cliff with a panoramic view of the Ford landscape. If you want to book a table, you need to go to loenskylift.com. LOENskylift.com.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, the picture looks terrifyingly nice.
Yeah?
I'm just, like, I look out the window breaks, I fall to my death. Like, that's what I feel. But
where
I'm
sure was this one?
Loen Skylift.
Loen Skylift. Okay. For Olden, I had kayaking on a guided narrative tour through the mountains, forest, viewing waterfalls, and learn about the culture, Viking history, and the mountains. Or there is a more physically demanding excursion where you can go glacier hiking.
I like it. We're going to be doing a lot of hiking. We went like food tour, yeah. hiking.
You got to work it off.
Still in Norway, we are going to Ålesund. So this one seemed like it didn't have a lot of things to do, but it is considered one of the most beautiful cities in all of Scandinavia. So I put just walk or take a bus through the city and enjoy all the beauty.
Yeah, this one was a little challenge, but I think I found some good stuff after digging around for a while. So this is initially a small fishing village is what it all started as. So my first thought was up in that area then, a fishing village up that far north was whale watching. But the time that the cruise ship would be there, the watching for blue whales doesn't really begin until October. So there are some whales, you can go out there, but it's not a guarantee you're going to see them at this point. So the ones that are would be there, you can go see orcas, and a few other different types. And Norway is the only place in the world where there are no laws against swimming with whales. No laws or restrictions. So in November, you can swim with orcas.
Wow. Okay.
Not in a cage.
Yeah.
Like, you actually go out on a boat for anywhere from 7 to 10 days... And you
sign the waiver.
You, no kidding, get in the water with orcas.
Brave.
And
yeah.
Like,
brave.
No kidding. And so the lady that I was kind of reading through her whole blog thing, she said she got within close enough distance where she could, if she reached her hand out, she was going to be able to touch the orca. And it came swimming up to her, and she's like, instant heart just dropped and then pounding. And it just swam up and turned and swam right away from her. And she got a picture of it right up close.
In her face.
Yep. It's a 7 to 10 day trip because there's no guarantee when exactly you'll be able to find the whole school of them. But.
So it came close enough that she could touch it, and she was like, but I don't want to startle it.
Just frozen still.
Let's not make them mad.
So, that whole expedition, though, is a whole separate thing you'd have to go on. But it was something I discovered in that local area that was right there.
Worth talking about.
Yep. And it's anywhere from $5,000 to $6,000 for that week to go out with them. Yep.
After we leave there, we are again still in Norway, and we are going to Bergen. So here I found the Floibenen Funicular. This takes you to the top of Floien, a mountain at the top of Bergen, at the top of the Bergen Peninsula. It's a passenger car that ascends 300 meters or 984 feet over an 850 meter or 2,789 foot track. At the summit, you can enjoy the view, you can go for a hike. There's also a restaurant, a cafeteria, a souvenir shop, and a play area.
I put whitewater rafting. They got class 4 rapid trips that they do out of there. So once you get off the boat, it's a 30-minute bus ride. You then, the whole excursion takes 4 hours. You get 2 hours of rafting time. And then to follow this up with mixed drink tastings, walking through the bars, sampling drinks made with the most notable local alcohol, which is Aquavit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they also have one that is called Glog.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but, you know, it's got the O with the line through it.
Right.
So, which is a mulled wine served hot.
Interesting.
So,
next thing you know, we come home and we're boiling our wine.
So, whitewater rapids and drinking.
I like it. I like the drinking part. Not the whitewater rapids.
Whitewater rafting's fun.
I'm not an adventurous person.
That's all right.
I'm very, like, laid back. Let's all just keep our feet on the ground. You know what I'm saying? After we leave Norway, because we're finally leaving Norway, we're going to cruise for one day, and then we're going to Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Okay, first of all, you know how you see places where the house numbers make no sense sometimes? Like, even in our neighborhood, our house number and our neighbor's house number on the corner are the exact same number.
Right, with different streets.
Yeah. So, there's a line of houses in Westerstraat that go from, it's even numbers and it counts down, but you go from house 54 to house 70. And so the thing was, what happened to, you know, 56, 58, blah, blah, blah. What happened?
I know this. Go for it.
You do know it?
Yep.
You tell me.
No, go
for it. You know it because you read it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So what happened was, there used to be a courtyard where 56, 58, 60, blah, blah, were at. The courtyard eventually closed down. Some of the house numbers merged, or some of the houses merged. And so there was just these lost seven houses. So this woman in house number 54, she put these tiny little, like, 4-inch houses in the cracks between 54 and 70, and it was the joke that that's where the other numbers were. And she didn't expect for it to become a thing where visitors come to see the tiny houses in the crack, but it became a thing. So she gets a kick out of it every time people come and see it.
I didn't know the story behind it. I just saw the pictures of the little houses.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's a good one. All right, I put a day of exploring the city and to visit a Van Gogh museum. And then dinner at the Vertereninstituut, where a boat takes you to an otherwise abandoned island where you eat outdoors in nature. A set 5-course meal is served with a focus on eating in nature from nature. Mm-hmm. Said to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So nice. It's all cooked on the fire, outside, with a view of nature, out on a cliff.
I like that. There was a lot to do in Amsterdam, so I just made notes of some of the other stuff. So, Amsterdam has a cheese museum, a piano museum, a public urinal that was so pretty it was declared a national monument, a fluorescent art museum, a torture museum, and Microbia, which is the world's first zoo for microbes. It has a collection of all the horrible and wonderful things living on and around us. And that doesn't even scratch the surface of everything there was to do in Amsterdam.
That was cool stuff.
Yeah. After we leave Amsterdam, we're cruising for 3 days, and then we get to Reykjavik, Iceland. And we'll be there for 2 days. So my day one is Hallgrímskirkja. It's difficult.
Well said.
Sorry. Anywho, it's one of the tallest and most impressive buildings in Iceland. It's a Lithuanian church that looks more like a spaceship, and it took 38 years to build. It has a stained glass window, which from the outside looks kind of unimpressive. But when you go inside, you go up to the second floor and look out and see how the light hits it, and it looks amazing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. I have relaxing at the Blue Lagoon.
Yep.
with lunch at the Lava Restaurant. So you can sit in the restaurant, and there's a glass that's actually looks underneath into the lagoon.
Uh-huh.
So you're actually, like, underwater.
Yeah.
In the lagoon. After that, we're going to, for dinner, we're going to dine in the Thryanyukuagurgur...
Well said.
...volcano for a private dinner. So from here, you take a helicopter ride up to the top of a volcano and climb into the volcano where they have a gourmet...
To cook your food.
They have a gourmet picnic set up for... So it's just the two of you having a private gourmet picnic inside of a volcano.
I'll try that with you.
It's only 14 grand.
It's only 14 grand. I like it.
Wait. But wait, there's more.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We have 2 days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Are you doing your day two?
I'll just jump right into day two since I'm a little excited. All right. So, there's a Game of Thrones tour. So, much of the show after season two was done in Iceland. This is everything in the show you see that is beyond the wall.
Oh!
It's all done in Iceland. So, this includes caves that you
coming.
Can... Yep, yep. So... And there's actual trails and tours you can follow, like where Arya and the Hound were walking through together the whole time. You can go explore their trails and everything.
Uh-huh.
So, that's it.
Now I see why you were excited. For my day two, I have the Harpa Concert Hall. So, this project was conceptualized and like ready to begin in 2002. The plans were going to include the concert hall, luxury apartments, 400 hotel rooms, retail shops, and on-site executive parking. It was going to have it all. But just when they broke ground and they like started the building, Iceland's economy crashed hard and they didn't have any government bailouts. So for the longest time, they just had this almost sort of built construction project that was going nowhere. But in 2009, the government decided to rescue the project, but it was against the citizens' wishes, so it was a point of contention. But they rescued the project. Everybody eventually, I guess, came around to the idea. And in the end, it became a conference center with occasional music on the side. But even still, everyone can agree that it's an amazing building and it's beautiful. After we leave Iceland, we're cruising for 1 day and then we're going to Qaqortoq, Greenland. So what I learned about Greenland is apparently roads aren't really a thing. So because Greenland has icy and rocky terrain, none of the towns and cities are connected over land. So people travel by plane, helicopter, I guess, I don't know, or boats to go long distances. One of the longest single roads built since World War II is a 3.8-mile road. I guess that's the longest usable road. The other longest road is 5,000-foot runway that was constructed in 2015 for an airport that hasn't been built yet.
Wow. Huh. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So go walk on a road, I guess.
Go walk on a road. Mine's a whale watching expedition, which can be done by helicopter or boat.
Because there's no roads.
Right. Definitely can't be done by car. During this, you can see, during the time that the cruise should be there, you should be able to see any one of 15 different species of whale, to include the humpback whale, blue whale, and narwhals.
Narwhals, narwhals, swimming through the ocean, causing a commotion. Okay, I'm sorry.
And this would also be the time to start trying to see in the evenings from your cruise ship, if you can see the northern lights.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
Awesome. After we leave there, we're going to cruise for 1 day, and we're going to be in Nuuk, Greenland. So, this is closed, but I hope it at least still exists. It's Santa's mailbox. So when it was opened, every winter, thousands of letters to Santa would get delivered to this giant red mailbox. And they were opened and read by the town's volunteers. There's like 17,000 people in town, and volunteers would go to read Santa's mail. And they would use Google Translate to try to respond to the children in their native language. I also read that a lot of parents trying to get their kids off pacifiers would mail them to Santa as well. So the mailbox received letters to Santa and pacifiers. And it would get emptied every December 24th so that it would be ready for the next year's mail. So it's not in use anymore, but again, I hope that it is at least still there so you can go and see what used to be Santa's mailbox.
That's a cool one.
Yeah.
For me, in Nook, I have, you can go skiing or snowboarding at the Sisora Refit Ski Resort. And you can also check out the Mother of the Sea statue, which was built in the water in the harbor. So as the tide goes up and down, the statue is on land or in the water.
Oh, I like that.
So it can either be basically almost completely covered, so you can just see the top of the statue.
Uh-huh.
And then when the water goes down, you can see the whole bottom of it and the other figurines that are in the statue with it.
That's amazing.
So it's kind of cool.
I like it. When we leave Greenland, we're going to be traveling for 2 days, and then we're going to end up in St. John's, Newfoundland. Newfoundland. How do you say it?
Newfoundland.
Fig-Newtonland. Okay. In Newfoundland. For this one, I had Hansen Bay. It's another one of those, like I had said in the beginning, kind of hidden beaches somewhere where you're not around a lot of people. So Hansen Bay is located on the far east end of St. John. It's a bit hidden, very calm. You'll see the locals there a little bit, but other than that, it's pretty isolated and beautiful. It looked absolutely beautiful.
I have to take a boat tour and sail through a 12,000-year-old iceberg, see a nesting area for a population of 500,000 Atlantic puffins.
I need to read about puffins.
Yeah.
They're cute.
They're awesome. Sometimes you can see them up in Maine. Uh-huh. There's certain little islands out there where some migrate to.
Yeah.
So I remember seeing them as a kid, but they're pretty elusive to specialized areas.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also see whales and sail to the largest concentration area of humpback whales in the world.
Nice.
This can be done as a private tour aboard a catamaran or as a group tour on a typical charter ship. Spend the afternoon visiting the Newman Wine Vaults after that. Learn of the nearly 300-year-old history of wine production involving imported ingredients from Portugal, pirate adventures, and wine for the royalty and elite aristocrats of the area. And, of course, this goes along with drinking the wine throughout your tour.
I like it. After we leave there, we're going to cruise for 2 days, and then we're going to be in New York City. So we're going to New York, New York. We'll be there for 2 days. I only found one thing. Because you have the typical, what are your typical New York things?
Well, I got them. Want me to just go first and get them out of the way?
Go ahead. All right. For all the typical New York.
Because I've never, stayed. I've been through New York however many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there as a little kid, but not as an adult. So I would absolutely do the tourism things. Yeah. Go to the Statue of Liberty. So I know as a kid, I was able to climb into the lantern that she holds, and there's an area up there. I think that's closed as of now. You can still climb and see out her crown.
Right.
So visit the Statue of Liberty. World Trade Center. That goes for One World Trade Center, the new building, along with the monument and the museum that they have there at the location of the old tower. Then visit Times Square for shopping, lunch at Massa, which is the United States' only 3-star sushi restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Plates will run you $650 to $800 per person.
I'll take two.
Yep. And then, hopefully, depending on schedules and everything, hopefully watch a New York Knicks game, basketball game, at Madison Square Garden.
Yay.
So that would be my day one of getting all the... I guess I got more here, too, on day two, but...
Yeah, I got one thing. So, at 115 Broadway, there is the Trinity Place Bank Vault Bar in Manhattan. So, this was built by the Mosler Safe Company, and I forget how they said they had to get the vault. However, they had to transport it. Wasn't an easy task because the thing is heavy, extremely heavy. But anyway, they got it there, and at each end of the bar, they left the 5-inch steel walls exposed so that you can see and get a feel for how secure it is. And then the 35-ton doors are open at both sides of the bar, and then you legit, you go sit at a bar and have a drink inside of a vault.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big vault.
Yeah. I want to do that.
And is it like one of the old vaults? You got the big handle, you got a crank, and...
They made the handle. I think they said they modernized the handle. So it's... Yeah, not the big cranky one. Cranky. Not the big one you crank.
Okay, so now I'm on to day two. So when we should be there, it's, I believe, what, October? Is when we're in New York?
September 4th.
September 4th. So we're in the fall, either way. It's going to be fall, so the leaves should be changing color in that whole region. So this would be an amazing time to do a walk through Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
See all the sights there. There's 1,000 photo opportunities kind of thing there. There's actually professional photographers that you can have walk with you that'll know all the spots and all that stuff.
For your Instagrams.
Yep, exactly. Sample as much pizza as we can so we can finish the New York versus Chicago pizza debate. We can just settle it once and for all.
I'm still going to vote on Chicago, but, you know.
Well, here's the thing. There's actually Michelin star pizza restaurants in New York.
Are they all deep dish?
No. Chicago's known for the deep dish.
Oh, so I do want to try New York's.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try it.
Then I have visit the Oculus, which is a $4 billion shopping mall that was built into a modern architectural masterpiece. Mm-hmm. So it's this just crazy looking mall. Mm-hmm. Like you look at it, it doesn't look like a mall. It just looks like you're in some abstract open room, but there's actually... all your high-end, you know, Gucci, Louis Vuitton stores inside there. So it's just cool to see the sights of that. Mm-hmm. And then visit as many rooftop bars as we can and sample Long Island iced teas along the way.
Uh-huh. Good idea. I like it.
And that's New York.
That's New York. I had my one bar and then I follow you around the rest of the time. After we leave New York, we are cruising for one day, and then we are going to the Royal Naval Dockyard in Bermuda. This one I did another calming day. I just said enjoy the pink sand beaches or enjoy all that the port has to offer. I read that it's a really nice port. You could catch a ferry to the city of Hamilton and walk down Front Street if you would like. But at the port, they also have Bonefish Grill, so I said, let's just go and get a smoked old-fashioned.
Bonefish.
Go to Bonefish and have a smoked old-fashioned. Yeah, if we're spending the day relaxing.
Those are good.
Let's get the smoked old-fashioned to go with it.
I have a private sailboat charter, which goes to a shipwreck where you go snorkeling. You can go snorkeling and scuba diving through an old shipwreck in the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is followed by, once you're done with that, you're done in the water, They then make it into like a booze cruise kind of thing on the way back where you can do rum cocktail samplings.
I like. After we leave Bermuda, we are going to be cruising for 2 days, and then we're going to do, I guess, the cruise thing to do. Perfect day at Coco Cay in the Bahamas. For this one, I said it's the last stop before heading home, so grab a cabana on the beach, have a few drinks, and relax again. I know Coco Cay, they just built their giant water slide or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get a lot there.
Yeah, do that if you would like. I'm about just relaxing.
Yep.
Especially since it's been so long.
And
since
I think this is like last days of this cruise.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of people that are just pretty anxious to get off the boat
and right.
be done with it, really.
Yeah.
So, I kind of had the same thing. Just get a beach cabana and chill. Yeah. So, one last day. That's it.
Exactly. And then the next day, we're back in Miami. You get off the boat and you did it.
Yep.
It's a long time.
It was a long time just doing this.
It was a long time researching it. I couldn't imagine doing it. So if we were to actually go, I don't think there's any way on earth I could stop at all these stops and do all these things. It's just too much.
No, you'd have to like pick your top 50% almost.
Yeah,
and like,
I could do one a week, maybe.
Or two a week. Maybe at some point you'd just be sick of being on the boat and so you just want to get off the boat.
So right.
I don't think the excursions, though, some of these might just be like get off the boat and go walk around. I think a lot of these stops would just be
whatever the port has to offer, definitely. But if we said anything that is worth looking at, like the big deal ones, we could do that. All right, going back through your list, what would be your big deal? What would be the one thing that you would definitely make sure to do?
Maybe Egypt.
Did we do Egypt in this leg?
Oh, in this leg?
Yeah.
Okay, this leg. Gotcha. For me, I picked two. I got Iceland and then Paris.
Yeah?
Yep. So I think dining inside of a volcano would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
The Blue Lagoon.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing would be amazing. But then in Paris, that sounded just like a fun day of, let me see, the 18 course innovations and inspirations menu, macaroon tasting from the world's greatest pastry chef, private dinner at the top of the Eiffel Tower,
right,
you know, at sunset, going and see the Phantom of the Opera place that,
Yeah. I picked a few.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Okay.
I picked the City Hall Cellars restaurant. I would like to do a noble banquet. So that was in Stockholm, Sweden. I'd also like to do the, like to go from Kristiansen, Norway. I would like to take the 2-hour trip and go to the underwater restaurant.
Mm, yep.
16 feet below sea level, I think.
So is there fish in, is it like clear water
and
you can see?
It's like an aqua aquarium.
Gotcha.
Except the fish are on the outside living free and you're in the aquarium. And then I wanted to go and see the tiny houses because I just thought that was a really cool story. And Santa's Mailbox. I also just want to see that. So
just to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a couple that I want to do and a couple that I want to see. Overall, which one's your favorite stop?
Do the whole world tour?
Yeah. I think our initial was leg 2, and I think I'd still choose it.
I don't know. I think I might go with Dubai.
Yeah?
Leg 3.
I do remember you saying Dubai before. I remember you saying it for a stop, but not the overall leg.
More Turkey. 3 Turkey stops. Italy, Slovenia, Croatia.
Yeah. I think we initially went with leg 2, but I could take a change.
I don't know. It'd be tough to pick if you only had to do one of these legs. Oh, what we didn't mention. Oh, no. Did we have Valencia on this? Yeah.
Yeah.
I had started an old list.
Oh, gotcha.
Valencia, Spain has the Le Oceanographic Aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
The largest aquarium in Europe and the largest underwater tunnel in all of Europe.
I feel like
And the only beluga whale family in Europe.
Neat. Don't remember that part. I don't know. Maybe I looked something up. I don't know. I don't think I can handle doing it all because it's a lot. But yeah, also, I kind of want to do it all.
I don't know how.
You got to be really okay with being on a boat for a long time.
I know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Leg three's got that anti-gravity hill.
Yeah.
Your car will drive itself up a hill.
I remember you saying that you were into that.
It just seems weird. Nowhere else on Earth does that work.
Well, maybe we could at least, now that we have a list of the places, even if we don't do the entire world cruise, maybe we at least have a good idea of some things that we can do, add to our bucket list, and do in life.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, we made it through the world tour. I was excited to travel with you. And I can't wait to see what's next. All right, bye.
Bye.